11 years after his death, writer John Kennedy Toole's novel A Confederacy of Dunces was published and earned critical acclaim, including a posthumous Pulitzer Prize in 1981. Today, it's considered a canonical work of Southern literature. The novel's main character is an eccentric and sometimes delusional slob named Ignatius J. Reilly. A 2021 novel pays homage to the character. Gardner Landry's Merlin of the Magnolias tells the story of Merlin McNaughton, who shares both characteristics and situations with Reilly. One key difference, though, while Dunces is set in New Orleans, Merlin takes place in Houston and features some nods to quirky aspects of Bayou City history. Landry tells Houston Matters' Michael Haggerty how his story and main character both reflect and, in some cases, differ from Toole's.
Merlin came to me like out of a fog, as a wholly imaginatively real person. He just sort of emerged and was like, wow, that dude is somebody and I need to tell his story, you know.
So you say you saw him, you're just kind of brainstorming, thinking, or is this in the process of writing something, or how do you?
No, I mean, he just emerged from the mental ether in my mind. And then I started writing because I thought he was so compelling. I got the sense of this character, and that's what drove me to write it. So it's more character-driven. I mean, it's not as much – there's plot and, you know, and everything to it, but it's more of a character-driven thing. Another thing is I'm a big fan of A Confederacy of Dunces by John Kennedy Toole, and I felt that this guy would be pretty good as a central character to create kind of an homage to that book.
Yeah, I was wondering. I saw some similarities or some things that reminded me of. He's not exactly the same, but
right.
As the character Ignatius, but in Confederacy of Dunces. But just tell me a little bit about Merlin. What he's into. How he thinks.
I mean, he is a high functioning autistic person. You know, that used to be called Asperger's syndrome. Now it's called, I think, high functioning or high in spectrum autism. Mm-hmm. So his world is narrow but intense. So he's concerned with vortices and ley lines and magnetism and Celts who used to do navigation according to mysterious magnetic earth energies. He tutors young people to supplement an income that he has and to kind of make it all work. But he loves to collect like old astrolabes and sextants and navigation tools. And he plays the glass harmonica, which Benjamin Franklin invented, and it's a very ethereal kind of sound that it emits.
That's that spinning glass thing that you can – is that the one you touch to play?
Yes. Yeah. You actually wet your fingers and touch it, and it just it's the same theory as when people get a wine glass and then put some water in it, and at a certain level of water it makes a C, and another one it makes an A sharp.
Your right. Finger around the rim.
Right, and except with the harmonica, those glasses are all stacked together, and they're on their side, and they spin – it's an easier way to play them because they're spinning, so you just need to move your hands and you can make chords and all that sort of thing. But it's ethereal, which suits Merlin's personality because his head's in the clouds. And, you know, Merlin is very concerned about certain things, but he's also delusional and naive. And, you know, he's well-meaning versus Ignatius Reilly. Ignatius is a jerk, you know, and that's part of his appeal. He's so awful. You're thinking, what's he going to do next? You know,
having read that book, I remember struggling to get into it at first, just because you're like, oh, it's so off-putting. You're just like, this guy drives me nuts. How is Merlin similar, and also how is he different in this homage?
Okay, so he's similar in his eating proclivities. He loves to eat. So New Orleans, 300 or so miles to the east of us, obviously a great food city. And I thought, well, it seems logical for the tribute, you know, to be and another good food city, though a younger one, Houston. And so Merlin conquers a panoply of world cuisine and local cuisine throughout the action. And so effectively, you know, he's an addict, you know, but it's his source of comfort and he appreciates it. They love to eat. They're similar. And that they're both focused on a different reality. You know, with Ignatius, he was focused on medieval things and writing commentary and Big Chief tablets about Boethius and Roswitha and that sort of thing and putting them in the library. With Merlin, it's more like his computer program about the energy event that he thinks is going to happen.
It's sort of one of the driving plot forces. He thinks this energy event's coming and threatening Houston.
Right. And he needs to be the one to make it reverse. And of course, the thing that he's that's most important that he doesn't realize he needs is what he's needed all along. And I don't know that I need to reveal that right now, but he gets rescued.
I mean, he strikes me, this book takes place in Houston. He's kind of the Houston version of Ignatius Reilly in that he's much more likable, I guess. That's a Houston trait.
That's interesting that you would – I've never thought of that. That's a great analysis. I like that. Yeah, he's an open, you know, decent, very concerned with his manners because, you know, that's how his grandfather taught him and sort of guy. So, yeah, in that sense, that's very nice that he would be a – I like that, a Houston version of Ignatius the way his personality worked.
I think we all kind of know or have known someone a little like Merlin, someone maybe a little, like you said, kind of eccentric and focused on certain things, maybe missing certain social cues for one reason or another. Right. As a writer, what kind of fun or interesting things does a character like that allow you to do?
Oh, I mean, just the focus allows him to go way away on flights of fancy. I mean, and literally he ends up getting a job at a blimp base and he flies the blimp and he goes on literal flights of fancy, you know, flying the blimp and of course accidentally uncovers a human smuggling and trafficking ring in the process.
I should point out too, I mean, if folks think that the blimp thing is just a fun, fantastical thing to do, actually Houston did have a blimp base at one point, if you know your history, right?
Yes, it did. And on that note, I actually got to fly that blimp when I was like 11 years old or 12 or something.
Let you do that, huh?
There was a way to sign up and I went up with my dad and my sister and my uncle, I think. And back in that era, things were more freewheeling. And once you got up to certain altitude, the pilot let everybody fly the blimp, even the little kids.
Probably let you smoke cigarettes up there too.
Well, yeah, sure, whatever you want, you know. Yeah. And so
simpler time.
And that's good, you know, point because the blimp is like Merlin. I mean, it becomes his spirit animal a lot of ways. He's big and lumbering, kind of slow, and so is the blimp.
I always think about, you know, as an author, you're hoping, I guess, that the readers, at the very least, enjoy your book or maybe feel something or maybe even as far as, you know, feel changed or something by what you read. Curious, though, also, you know, creating this character, telling the story, what about you? How do you feel? Do you feel different or changed because of your time with Merlin?
The most important thing that Merlin, and it helps me to focus on this too, that Merlin learns is that he finds out what he didn't know, which is that he needed to be loved and to love. And he was totally concerned about performance and saving unsavable people. And it turned out his ideas that this thing was going to happen were basically not based in reality. Again, head in the clouds. So as opposed to being sidetracked by whatever in life, you know, to stay centrally focused on relationships and caring about other people.
Gardner Landry is the author of the novel Merlin of the Magnolias. He spoke with our own Michael Haggerty.